It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News Team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Hang on to your hat, folks. We've got some wild weather on the way. The same storm system that brought 47 inches of snow to Montana and tornadoes to Texas is moving into our neck of the woods, and that spells big changes weather-wise. The summer warmth of late will be replaced with a winter chill over the holiday weekend. Some of us could be looking at snow late Saturday into Easter Sunday. Elon Musk wants Twitter, all of Twitter, days after rejecting a seat on the board, the world's richest man now offering $43 billion to take over that company. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
This would be a hostile takeover of the social media company in which Musk intends to take the company private.
Musk says he wants to transform Twitter to ensure free speech is protected. San Jose State business professor Matthew Faulkner.
He's been a proponent of free speech and non-censorship among information that, you know, isn't misinformation.
Twitter's board of directors is meeting today to consider Musk's offer. The suspect in the New York City subway shooting is being arraigned today on federal terrorism charges. 62-year-old Frank James faces life in prison.
I don't think he's going to see the light of day for a very long time, but this is a day to celebrate our law enforcement. Think about this. A mass shooting situation, not one fatality. The greatest police department in the world went out there and got this lunatic off the street without another person becoming a victim.
Sergeant Joe Imperatriz is the founder of Blue Lives Matter. NYPD Police Commissioner Keegan Sewell says James' 30 hours on the run ended yesterday.
We were able to shrink his world quickly. There was nowhere left for him to run.
A good Samaritan called the cops after spotting James walking in the East Village.
He was walking in the street, told the police, yo, this is the guy. And we catch him. Thank God.
James had been arrested over a dozen times the past 15 years. Police say he purchased the pistol used in the subway attack at a pawn shop in Ohio. Stores are boarded up in Grand Rapids, Michigan today out of fear there could be riots over the deadly police shooting of a 26-year-old black man. That suspect shot and killed during a traffic stop earlier this month. Another busload of illegal immigrants arrived in Washington, D.C. today. It came from Texas. Governor Abbott says the bus trip to D.C. will continue until the Biden administration gets serious about the border.
Joe Biden has refused to come to the border to see the chaos that he has created by his open border policies. So we're going to take the border to him by transporting the people that he is dropping off in these local communities in the state of Texas and then letting loose. And what has been happening so far is those people will be getting on buses and going to San Antonio or Houston or other places like that. And so I think they just need longer bus rides.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says he may also send north the illegal immigrants who are arriving in his state. Ukraine says it has damaged a Russian warship in the Black Sea. It was hit in a Ukrainian missile attack. The ship reportedly exploded near the port city of Odessa. The U.S. is supplying Ukraine with another $800 million in military hardware. Pentagon spokesman David Martin.
U.S. officers say they can keep this up for as long as it takes, but will it end Ukraine's agony?
Retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis tells Family Life News this war will not be over anytime soon.
We have a new phase that's about to be launched, and so I would expect the Russians are going to be in for the long slog. This could take months, if not years.
McGinnis explains why the war is no longer front page news.
Now, what happens overseas often, you know, even though it's despicable, doesn't always compete that well with what's happening at the gas pump or in the local grocery store. Yeah. And so people are attuned to what has an immediate impact on them, and understandably why Ukraine has now begun to take a back seat.
Today marked 50 days since the war began. How low can he go? A new Quinnipiac poll puts President Biden's approval rating at just 33%.
Joe Biden's old boss, Barack Obama, it was about 10 points higher than Joe Biden is currently at right now, and he still lost 63 seats in the House in his first term.
Media critic Joe Concha says these new numbers will translate into a red tsunami come November.
Look, you talk to Democratic strategists, and we had one story in The Hill yesterday who says that the losses coming will be of biblical proportions.
Concha says part of the president's problem is his reluctance to do interviews. He's done just one this year.
If he does an interview, even if they're cotton candy questions, even if it's T-ball, they're still going to have to clean up on aisle five afterwards.
President Obama did more than 150 interviews in his first year in office. Donald Trump did nearly 100. Donald Trump is speaking today about the record inflation that's gripping this country.
I mean, I just think that the energy is such a big factor, and it's driving everything else up.
He says the U.S. has liquid gold under its feet, but we're turning to other countries for oil. Former President Barack Obama.
Inflation is a real issue. A lot of it is having to do with the COVID and supply chains.
Obama thinks COVID exhaustion has dampened the mood of the country heading into the midterms. Overruled in Kentucky, the state legislature has reversed Democratic Governor Andy Beshear's veto of an abortion bill and transgender sports ban. The pro-life law effectively shuts down all the abortion clinics in Kentucky. The bluegrass state is also now the 15th state to ban biological males from competing in girls' sports. Masks still a must on public transportation after the TSA extended its mandate for another 2 weeks. Travel expert Peter Greensburg.
In about 12 days, they're going to have to confront the issue again. It's like this long, slow death of the masks. Bottom line is, before Memorial Day, it'll probably go away.
Rice University political scientist Mark Jones says Republicans are making political hay out of the masks, and it seems to be working.
The argument will be Democrats in Washington themselves generally are not wearing masks when they are in Congress or conducting business. It's a good strategy to mobilize their base, and as long as we don't see a resurgence of COVID, it's likely to pay off, and especially as the summer travel season starts and people who don't normally travel by plane travel for vacation, you're likely to see more opposition to mask mandates.
The mask mandate for mass transit is in place until May the 3rd. California could eliminate the sale of gas-powered vehicles by the year 2035. That's in 15 years. In just 2 years, you won't be able to buy a new gas-powered leaf blower or lawn mower in the Golden State. Still to come on the Noon Report, Marijuana Inc. in New York State, a new poll on the Pennsylvania governor's race, and how close were the bills to leaving Buffalo?
Well, good afternoon to all. Very changeable afternoon across our region with everything from sunshine to thunderstorms and some gusty breezes all in the mix. I'll be back with a forecast. That's coming up in 10 minutes.
All right, see you then. Thanks, Kevin. Checking the stories making news where you live. In New York and Pennsylvania, Governor Hochul wants New Yorkers to have confidence in their government following the resignation of her second-in-command. Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin resigned this week amid a public corruption probe. Liz Warner has the latest.
Governor Hochul telling WNYC the entire ordeal had come as a surprise. When asked about Benjamin's replacement, Hochul noted it's still very early in the process with many people to consider, and no decisions have been made thus far. Meantime, State Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins is serving in an acting capacity as Lieutenant Governor. Liz Warner, New York.
Thank you, Liz. Former Governor George Pataki sounding off on the Brian Benjamin controversy.
It's inconceivable that someone with that level of baggage could go through a vetting process and be appointed to the most important position apart from governor in the state of New York.
Pataki says Governor Hochul should have known more about Benjamin's background when she tapped him to be her lieutenant governor back in September.
It's just really sad. From Spitzer to Cuomo and now Benjamin, New York is becoming the laughingstock of the country, and that's not what we want to be.
Benjamin, a former state senator from Harlem, pled not guilty in a 5-count indictment this week. He was released on a $250,000 bail. With a month to go before the Pennsylvania primary election, Doug Mastriano holding a slim lead in the crowded field of Republican candidates for governor. The state senator gets 19% of the vote. In the latest survey from a GOP consulting group, former federal prosecutor Bill McSwain came in second, followed by former Congressman Lou Barletta. Now, whomever emerges from the GOP primary will face Democrat Josh Shapiro in November, the Attorney General running unopposed in this year's midterms. Marijuana shops will start popping up next year in New York, and last night a hearing was held in Corning for those interested in finding work in the weed industry.
This is a brand new industry, and to organize it from the ground up is just so exciting.
Dora Leland is president of the Chemung Schuyler Labor Council. She wants to ensure that once Marijuana Inc. gets off the ground, those who push pot are profitable.
How do we organize the workers? How do we make sure that their working conditions, their wages, and their future in this industry is protected?
Critics say marijuana legalization will lead to an increase in crime, drugged driving, and the devaluation of homes in communities where pot is bought and sold. 99% of Pennsylvania schools are struggling to find substitute teachers. 80% don't have enough bus drivers or teachers' aides. Those are the results of a recent survey from the Pennsylvania School Boards Association. Spokesman Andrew Christ says partisan politics about the pandemic did not adversely impact parents' views about public education.
What we found was 66% of parents with a kid in a traditional public school district said that their school district did a good job balancing those health and safety needs with providing a quality education.
The State of Education report shows three-quarters of schools in the Commonwealth anticipate hiring issues next year. There's been a 30% decline in public school enrollment in Pennsylvania over the past year. Nationwide, the coronavirus has ushered in what may be the most rapid rise in homeschooling ever. Even after schools reopened, many parents opted instead for the unconventional education approach. Homeschooling has increased a whopping 63% since the start of the pandemic. The Union Endicott School District near Binghamton, New York, hosted a bus driver job fair this morning. Fred Goodall drives bus for the district and helped out with the training of new drivers.
It's a nationwide shortage, and the job fairs, they have been very successful.
He says by becoming a bus driver, you can make a real difference in the life of a child.
But yeah, helping these kids in today's society, they need as much help as they can get, seriously.
Experts say the bus driver shortage is beyond critical, with many districts now forced to curtail their extracurricular activities in order to compensate for the dearth of drivers. We've just learned that the Buffalo Bills were ready to bolt if they did not secure that stadium deal to keep them in Western New York. Here's Family Life's Mark Webster.
That's the scary scenario presented by Governor Kathy Hochul, who tells the Buffalo News that there was a chance the Bills could have been lured to another market without a new stadium deal. Hochul says team owners Kim and Terry Pegula had options to leave and were contacted by cities that had lost their NFL teams in the past, saying a city such as San Diego would love to have a team. She also reflected on 2014 when a rival group to the Pegulas reportedly sought to move the Bills to Toronto. Buffalo is the second smallest market in the 32-team league, second only to Green Bay. Mark Webster, Family Life News.
All right, Mark, thank you for that. It's 14 past the hour. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. All right, let's check sports next. The Hawks and Pelicans playoff chances live to see another day. Atlanta crushed the Hornets in the Eastern Conference last night. Hawks visit Cleveland tomorrow in a battle for that 8th seed. Out west, the Pelicans top the Spurs. They'll visit the Clippers tomorrow. The winner of that game has a date with the top-ranked Phoenix Suns. Football news, the Las Vegas Raiders keeping quarterback Derek Carr under center. He's inked a 3-year extension worth $121 million. Baker Mayfield says he feels disrespected by the Cleveland Browns after they traded for Deshaun Watson. Mayfield's requested a trade. He thinks he'll wind up in Seattle. Baseball news. When is a home run not a home run?
Here's the 1-0. Swung on. There it goes. Deep left center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. But caught. At the wall. Caught by Tapia.
Boy, I thought that was gone.
Legendary Yankees broadcaster John Sterling with a little egg on his face there in the Bronx last night. The Yankees lose to the Blue Jays 6-4. Vladimir Guerrero homered three times. Elsewhere in the AL, the Red Sox beat the Tigers. Oakland doubled up the Rays, and the White Sox get by Seattle. National League, Pete Alonso had himself a day in the Mets' 9-6 victory over the Phillies.
Yeah, I thought we did an excellent job of pouring it on all day. We had excellent at-bats, 1-9, and that's what it takes to win these tough divisional games.
The guy they call the Polar Bear went 3-for-5 at the plate with 5 runs batted in as New York improves to a division best 5-2 on the young season. The Cubs lost to the Pirates. The Nats beat the World Series champion Atlanta Braves. Interleague play, the Dodgers shut out the Twins 7-0. Clayton Kershaw left after pitching 7 perfect innings. And on the ice, the Rangers blank the Flyers 4-0. Columbus and Colorado also skating to victory. At the Family Life Sports Desk, I'm Bob Price. And there's much more ahead on this busy Thursday. Musk makes his move to take over Twitter. We'll have that story. A new way to pay with microchip money, Brandon Dixon reports. And some wild weather on the way. Kev's got your forecast in 4 minutes.
We often hear today that standing for truth will alienate people from the gospel. Today, Maundy Thursday, of all days, reminds us we need not choose between truth and love. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Jesus would have baked the cake. Christians hate LGBTQ people. You're on the wrong side of history. Why can't you just let them be their true selves? That's just your truth, not mine. Or perhaps most painful, especially when it comes from a friend or a family member. If you love me, you'd accept me for who I really am. Look, all these slogans leave Christians silent or shamed today. But at root, they're just different ways of saying the same thing. That truth and love are incompatible. To tell the truth, especially when it comes to issues of sexuality and gender, is to be unloving and intolerant. And to love someone is to always affirm their choices. And there's a uniquely Christian version of these slogans, too. Taking a moral stand, we're told, especially on questions so culturally controversial, will distract from the gospel. The church needs to be more welcoming and avoid anything that makes people feel excluded from the church. After all, we're told, isn't the gospel really about inclusivity? Well, today, of all the days of Holy Week, directly confronts this mentality. Maundy Thursday set aside on the church calendar to remember the Last Supper. The word Maundy comes from the Latin word for mandate or command. At this first celebration of communion, Jesus gave his disciples a new command, that they should love and serve each other. And to demonstrate what he meant by this, he picked up a basin of water and a towel and washed their feet. Now, to fully understand the words and actions of Jesus here, recall that at this Last Supper and First Communion, Jesus and his disciples were actually obeying an original command from God given to all Jews to always remember Passover. God's people were to never forget how they had been rescued from slavery in Egypt. For Jesus to issue a new command on this night was an audacious thing to do, especially given how heavily God's original command weighed in Israel's history and identity as a people. Jesus, however, went even further than just merely adding instructions to an old celebration. Now, rather than just remembering how the angel of death passed over those homes with lamb's blood on their doorpost, they were to remember him, his broken body, his shed blood. Ultimately, the new command was to remember a new rescue and how, through Christ's death, death is not merely avoided, but finally defeated. Though the volume has increased in recent years, the American church has been dividing over whether it should be primarily about proclaiming truth or serving others since at least the early and mid-20th century. The Lord's Supper and Jesus' new command reminds us that this is a false dichotomy. It's an unnecessary choice to make. These two things, truth and love, need never be separated and should never be separated. On the same night, Jesus commanded us to remember how his broken body and shed blood rescues us from sin. That's truth. He commanded us to demonstrate our new life by serving others. That's love. We need not choose between truth and love. In fact, we must not choose. They always go together because they are both grounded in the same source, or more specifically, the same person. Jesus embodied truth and love, not only in the event we commemorate today, but in every event we remember this Holy Week. He is truth, He is love, and He is risen indeed. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
20 past the hour, Kevin Williams, weather next.
Here is your Family Life weather forecast for this afternoon. Across central New York, central and eastern Pennsylvania, a band of showers and rumbles crossing the air before the sun returns. Farther west, any earlier clouds and showers clearing away for sunshine but with gusty breezes. Temperatures in the west dropping into, if not through, the 50s. In the east, rising toward 70 before dropping. For tonight, becoming mainly clear, colder than last night. 30s and low 40s. Tomorrow, some sun and clouding up. 50s and low 60s. Saturday's cloudy with some rain showers, highs in the 40s and 50s.
All right, sounds like a complicated forecast. Thank you, Kevin. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price. Thanks for checking in. A lot on our plate this Thursday, the 14th of April. The world's richest man, Elon Musk, is making a move to take control of Twitter for $43 billion.
Musk is all in, offering to buy 100% of Twitter at more than $54 a share. In a filing with the SEC, Musk says it is his best and final offer. The richest man in the world says he believes Twitter cannot thrive unless it is transformed into a private company. He ended his note to the Twitter chairman saying the company has extraordinary potential, promising, quote, "I will unlock it." I'm Rory O'Neill.
Russia reporting a setback in its war on Ukraine. The flagship of its Black Sea fleet badly damaged in a fire today. Ukraine's military said it was ignited by a missile strike near the city of Odessa. In northern Ukraine, people are returning to their homes or what's left of their homes following devastating Russian airstrikes. Correspondent Holly Williams spoke with a few Ukrainians who've lost virtually everything in this war.
The pain and the anxiety is written in their faces. Galina Yegorova is distraught. She made it out of far eastern Ukraine before an expected Russian assault, but her 73-year-old husband refused to come. And in the shattered city of Mariupol, bombarded for weeks on end, Ukrainian officials say more than 20,000 are believed dead.
The war, by the way, turned 50 days old today. President Biden's job approval rating has sunk to a new all-time low, just 33% now. Among independents, it's even worse. Just 26% think the president's doing a good job. Nearly 7 in 10 voters think the U.S. should be doing more to help Ukraine. Another busload of illegal immigrants arrived in D.C. today from Texas. Critics say the bus trip is a sharp rebuke of the president's border policy.
I don't think Joe Biden or Vice President Harris has any idea how bad it is, and they're going to see with all these people in invading Washington, D.C., like they've invaded our border states, and it may make them realize how bad it is.
Congressman James Comer.
Every state is now a border state. Every state is being flooded with illegals, which is bringing fentanyl, human trafficking, and increased crime.
The suspect in the New York City subway shooting is being arraigned today after being arrested yesterday in the East Village. 62-year-old Frank James called the NYPD Crime Stoppers tip line on himself. He was picked up a short while later. Here's reporter Mula Lange.
James was charged with terrorism on board a mass transit system. If convicted, he could face up to life in prison. His arrest record spans at least 15 years in several states. It includes 9 misdemeanor arrests in New York between 1992 and 1998.
Cops say James threw a smoke grenade and then opened fire on a subway train Tuesday. 10 people suffered gunshot wounds. Nobody was killed. James called himself a prophet of doom and posted hours of racist rants online. UCLA researchers have discovered the largest comet known in the universe.
A typical comet is about a mile across. This one is estimated to be between 80 and 85 miles wide. That's more than double the width of Rhode Island. Its mass is estimated at 500 trillion tons, 100,000 times greater than the mass of a typical comet. It's not in danger of hitting Earth. The closest it will ever get to us when it passes through our solar system is Saturn. I'm Trey Thomas.
A tech company is making it possible for you to buy things with a microchip implanted in your body. Here's Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The British company Walletmore is selling microchips as alternate payment options. The chips are about the size of a grain of rice, cost around $300, and must be implanted in your body, preferably your hand. The company says after you activate the chip using a digital wallet app, you can make purchases at most businesses just by swiping your hand over a card reader. The chips are currently being sold only to people in the UK, Switzerland, and European Union countries. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, Brandon, thank you for that. It's 26 past the hour. This is the Noon Report.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, free speech attorney Zach Greenberg. A federal judge in Pennsylvania recently struck down an ethics rule that would have subjected attorneys to disciplinary action if someone deemed their speech offensive in or out of the courtroom. Zach, based on this recent case in Pennsylvania, what ethics rules do you think go too far?
The model rule was originally proposed by the American Bar Association, and the states, such as Pennsylvania, adopted this rule as part of their own codes of conduct regulating attorney ethical behavior. And so our lawsuit, our litigation against the rule, was designed to get the rule struck down on First Amendment grounds, allowing attorneys to advocate for a wide array of causes and defend unpopular clients.
If you can break it down for those of us that don't have law degrees, how is this Pennsylvania rule similar to the American Bar Association rule that hampers attorneys' free speech aimed at protecting religious liberty, including traditional marriage and sexuality?
The original rule and the revised version of the rule in PA had these very vague and broad definitions for harassment and discrimination. And this language is problematic because if an attorney is advocating for the traditional view of marriage or against same-sex marriage or for any of these hot-button issues, whether it's abortion, immigration, affirmative action, what have you, they could be cited under the rule. They could be accused of harassing, discriminating against others for their advocacy. And this is problematic because attorneys could lose their law license and they could get disbarred and suffer other punishments for speaking about these political issues.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, this is the culture in which we live. By the way, I don't know if listeners caught that. This is extending to when you're not even in the courtroom. So like you said, maybe you were giving a lecture, or what if you're just talking to a friend and later they turn on you or something? They think that, well, that wasn't open to a homosexual lifestyle or it wasn't in favor of transgenderism.
That's a really good point, because most of the attorney ethical rules are regarding the practice of law, such as when attorneys are talking to clients in a courtroom, deposing witnesses, for example. But this rule encompasses all expression in any activity related to the practice of law, which could include, like you said, bar association conferences, social events. So it's really a broad and wide-ranging rule that restricts attorneys from talking in many instances that's unrelated to the practice of law.
Zach, so people who may not be familiar with the world of law, how would you say this suit or this case impacts everyone on a much wider basis?
Sure. The American Bar Association has asked each state to adopt their own version of this rule, and many states have resisted this on First Amendment free speech grounds. And so we're hoping that this litigation pushes the states that have not yet decided about whether to adopt the rule to not do so, or to adopt a very narrow version of the rule to protect their attorneys' free speech rights. Because we believe that this rule, as adopted, would be unconstitutional. It does restrict attorney First Amendment rights. And we urge PA and also the other states out there to not adopt this rule and to take a stand of protecting their members' free speech rights.
By the way, you did win, if I'm correct, a federal judge in Pennsylvania ruled in favor of free speech recently.
Yeah, I just want to clarify that I'm represented in this case by the Hamilton Lincoln Law Institute. And the Hamilton Law Institute, we're going to continue to fight this case and fight this rule. And we're going to see if the government appeals the case. And perhaps we'll be back in court. But if they are, we'll fight them there.
That's free speech attorney Zachary Greenberg. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
All right, Tracy, thank you very much. Faith Under Fire comes your way Thursdays during the Noon Report or online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the midday weather map, we're tracking a cold front. It's going to be sparking some showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some strong storms a possibility across parts of eastern Pennsylvania and east central New York. In its wake, oh boy, it gets chillier heading into your Easter weekend. Chilly enough that there could be a few flurries around before the weekend is through. Here's the call for this afternoon. Across central New York, central and eastern Pennsylvania, a band of showers and rumbles crossing the area before the sun returns. Farther west, any earlier clouds and showers clearing away for sunshine, but with gusty breezes. Temperatures in the west dropping into, if not through, the 50s. In the east, rising towards 70 before dropping during the course of the afternoon. Very changeable, as I said. For tonight, becoming mainly clear, colder than last night. 30s and low 40s tomorrow, some sun and clouding up. 50s and low 60s. Saturday's cloudy with some rain showers, some wet flakes mixing in western and central New York. Late highs in the 40s and 50s.
All right, Kevin, finally noon. Laughter really is the best medicine. Family Life's Brian Querrey tells us why today's the perfect day to let out a little chuckle.
When was the last time you gave yourself permission to randomly laugh out loud? Well, get ready to do it again because April 14th is International Moment of Laughter Day. Humorologist Izzy Gazelle created the holiday to encourage more people to laugh. Why? Scientific studies have found what we really already knew. Laughter is good for you. It helps burn calories, reduce stress, and can even strengthen relationships. And Gazelle believes it's important, saying that laughter comes right after breathing as just about the healthiest thing you can do. So today, enjoy the benefits of laughter. Catch a funny movie, look back at fun family memories, or tell a joke about the weather, because today, it's a breeze. Brian Querrey, Family Life News.
Yeah, don't quit your day job, Brian. That's our world for Thursday, the 14th of April. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.